Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Havana Docks Corporation versus Royal Caribbean Cruises, docket number 24983. Decided May 21st, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. In 1928, the United States-based Havana Docks Corporation acquired from the Cuban government a time-limited property interest in docks at the Port of Havana, set to expire in 2004. After Fidel Castro seized power in 1959, the new Cuban government seized the docks without compensation. In 1996, Congress enacted the Cuban Liberty and Democratic Solidarity Act, which creates a private right of action against those who knowingly and intentionally traffic in property confiscated by the Cuban government. Between 2016 and 2019, four commercial cruise lines, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, Carnival, and MSC, transported nearly 1 million paying passengers to Cuba using the docks that Havana Docks had built. Havana Docks sued the cruise lines and won judgments of more than $100 million against each in the district court. A divided panel of the 11th Circuit reversed, holding that because Havana Docks' concession would have expired in 2004 before the cruise lines challenged conduct, that conduct did not constitute trafficking. The question presented was whether a plaintiff suing under Title III of the Cuban Liberty and Democratic Solidarity Act must prove that the defendant trafficked in property confiscated by the Cuban government as to which the plaintiff owns a claim, or instead that the defendant trafficked in property that the plaintiff would have continued to own at the time of trafficking in a counterfactual world as if there had been no expropriation. The court held, the cruise line's use of the docks is sufficient to establish that they used property which was confiscated by the Cuban government. Havana Docks is not required to establish that the cruise lines trafficked in Havana Docks' own property interest. Justice Thomas delivered the opinion of the court, in which Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito, Sotomayor, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Barrett, and Jackson joined. Justice Sotomayor filed a concurring opinion, in which Justice Kavanaugh joined. Justice Kagan filed a dissenting opinion. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. Specifically for this episode, the AI model sometimes created an accent for the speaker that could not be fully removed. We hope this does not create too much of a distraction for you, and we will work to improve in future episodes. The following is the opinion of the court in Havana Docks Corporation versus Royal Caribbean Cruises.
In 1996, Congress enacted the Cuban Liberty and Democratic Solidarity Act. The act seeks to deter trafficking in property that the Cuban government confiscated from Americans after the Communist Revolution of 1959. To that end, the act generally imposes liability on those who use confiscated property to which an American entity owns a claim. This case concerns whether the act imposes liability on four cruise lines that use docks that the Cuban government took from an American company in 1960. Before the Communist Revolution, petitioner Havana Docks Corporation built, operated, and held a time-limited property interest in docks at the Port of Havana. After the Communist Revolution, the Cuban government seized control of those docks. Then, between 2016 and 2019, four commercial cruise lines used those same docks to embark and disembark nearly 1 million passengers. Havana Docks sued the cruise lines under the act and won judgments against each of them in the district court. The Court of Appeals reversed. In its view, a defendant is liable for trafficking in confiscated property only if its actions would have interfered with the plaintiff's property interests had there been no confiscation. The court held that the cruise lines were not liable because Havana Docks' property interest in the docks would have expired before 2016 had the Cuban government not confiscated the docks. We disagree. The act generally makes those who use property tainted by a past confiscation liable to any United States national who owns a claim to that property. Havana Docks did not have to prove that the cruise lines interfered with a property interest that would have existed in the counterfactual scenario in which the Cuban government did not confiscate it. Instead, Havana Docks had to prove only that the cruise lines used confiscated property, such as the docks to which Havana Docks owns a claim. We therefore vacate the Court of Appeals decision. In 1928, the United States-based Havana Docks Corporation acquired a property interest, specifically a usufructuary concession that allowed it to develop and operate dock facilities at the state-owned port of Havana. A usufruct is a right to use, enjoy, or profit from another's property, and a concession is a privilege granted by the government. Relying on this usufructuary concession from the Cuban government, Havana Docks completed a large terminal building and three piers, which we collectively refer to as the docks, at the port of Havana. Havana Docks acquired this property interest with certain conditions and guarantees. It enjoyed the right to operate and profit from the docks that it completed. Its property interest was time limited and set to expire in 2004. Havana Docks therefore expected to control, operate, and profit from the docks for 76 years. At the end of the concession's term, the Cuban government would replace the concessionaire in possession of the works, and Havana Docks' enjoyment of it and its proceeds would come to an end. The Cuban government agreed that if it expropriated the docks before 2004, it would compensate Havana Docks for the value of all works constructed by it. The Communist Revolution cut Havana Docks' concession short without that compensation. After Fidel Castro seized power in 1959, he declared that it is fundamental for the liberation and economic development of our country to liquidate the American commercial or industrial enterprises operating in Cuba. To that end, the new Cuban government decreed that it would forcibly take American properties and enterprises located in Cuba, targeting Havana Docks by name. Under the decree, government forces seized the docks in 1960 and confiscated all of Havana Docks' assets. These assets included, as relevant here, the docks that Havana Docks had constructed and its property interest in those docks. All agree that this action prematurely destroyed Havana Docks' concession in 1960 and, by extension, its ability to benefit from the docks that it built. The Cuban government has never compensated Havana Docks for the taking of its property, and it continues to operate parts of the docks to this day. Havana Docks filed a claim with the Foreign Claims Settlement Commission. Congress had authorized the commission to determine the amount and validity of claims for losses resulting from the nationalization, expropriation, intervention, or other taking of any property, right, or interest by the Cuban government. The commission concluded that Havana Docks had a concession for the construction and operation of the docks and real property with all improvements and appurtenances located at the port. It also confirmed that the facilities of the company were physically occupied by agents of the Cuban government and that the Cuban government had expropriated Havana Docks' assets. It therefore certified about $9 million in losses, plus 6% annual interest. But, despite its certified losses, Havana Docks lacked any means to obtain compensation. That began to change in 1996. On February 24th of that year, Cuban fighter jets shot down two unarmed American civilian airplanes over international waters. In response, Congress promptly enacted the Cuban Liberty and Democratic Solidarity Act of 1996. Among other things, the act codified the long-standing embargo against Cuba and set conditions for the normalization of relations between the two countries. As relevant here, the act also sought to deter trafficking in wrongfully confiscated property. Congress found that the Cuban government had allowed foreign investors to use confiscated property to secure badly needed financial benefit for the regime, contrary to the American foreign policy goals of undermining the Castro regime and compensating United States nationals. Congress further found that the international judicial system failed to provide fully effective remedies for unjust enrichment from the use of wrongfully confiscated property by private entities. So, in Title III of the Act, Congress endowed American victims of confiscation with a judicial remedy in the courts of the United States. Under Title III, any entity that traffics in property which was confiscated by the Cuban government on or after January 1, 1959, shall be liable to any United States national who owns the claim to such property. Subject to certain exceptions, someone traffics in confiscated property if he knowingly and intentionally sells, purchases, or uses the confiscated property or engages in a commercial activity using or otherwise benefiting from confiscated property without authorization from the claim holder. The term property includes any property, including real, personal, or mixed, and any present, future, or contingent right, security, or other interest therein, including any leasehold interest. And the term confiscated refers to the nationalization, expropriation, or other seizure by the Cuban government of ownership or control of property without compensation, settlement, or return of the property. To prevail, then, a plaintiff must show that the Cuban government confiscated property on or after January 1, 1959. The defendant trafficked in the property, such as by knowingly and intentionally using it without authorization, and the plaintiff is a United States national who owns a claim to the property. An entity that traffics in confiscated property is liable for money damages. Those damages are presumptively equal to the amount certified by the commission if the plaintiff has a certified claim. Title III trebles those damages if a United States national owns a claim with respect to that property which was certified by the commission. This right of action lay dormant for more than two decades. The act authorizes the president to suspend the Title III right of action based on a determination that the suspension is in the national interest and will expedite a transition to democracy in Cuba. Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama continuously suspended the right of action from its effective date onward. But in May of 2019, President Trump allowed the suspension to expire, permitting the right of action to go into effect for the first time. That policy change exposed traffickers in confiscated property of United States nationals to Title III liability. From 2016 to 2019, respondents, Royal Caribbean Cruises, Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, Carnival Corporation, and MSC Cruises transported nearly 1 million paid passengers to Cuba. These cruise lines paid entities affiliated with the Cuban government tens of millions of dollars to do business in Cuba. They collectively earned hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue from voyages that included a stop in Havana. As part of this enterprise, their cruise ships arrived at the docks that Havana Docks built, where they embarked and disembarked their passengers. They continued to do so even after receiving notice of Havana Docks' certified claim to the docks. Shortly after President Trump allowed the suspension of the right of action to expire in May 2019, Havana Docks filed lawsuits against these four cruise lines in the United States District Court for the Southern District of Florida. Havana Docks alleged that between 2016 and 2019, the cruise lines had trafficked in confiscated property to which Havana Docks owned a claim. The cruise lines did not dispute that they used the docks in question without the authorization of Havana Docks. Instead, the cruise lines argued they are not liable because Havana Docks' property interest in those docks would have expired in 2004, even if there had been no confiscation, and the cruise lines could not have trafficked in a time-limited concession that expired in 2004. The district court rejected that argument and, after rejecting other defenses not at issue here, entered summary judgment against all four cruise lines. Because the cruise lines had independently trafficked in the confiscated property, they were independently liable under Title III, and the district court awarded Havana Docks more than $100 million from each of the cruise lines. A divided panel of the United States Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit reversed. It held that the cruise lines had not trafficked in confiscated property to which Havana Docks owned a claim. In its view, courts must view the property interest at issue in a Title III action as if there had been no expropriation, and then determine whether the alleged conduct constituted trafficking in that interest. Applying that test, it concluded that because any property interest that Havana Docks had by virtue of the concession ended in 2004, the cruise line's conduct from 2016 to 2019 would not have constituted trafficking if there had been no confiscation. Its analysis assumed that Havana Docks had to establish trafficking in the time-limited property interest that had permitted it to build and operate the docks. Judge Brasher dissented. In his view, Havana Docks could establish liability based on the cruise line's trafficking in the underlying physical property. The docks, which still exist, are still in use and have not expired, ended, or fallen into the sea. And, he explained, the majority's counterfactual analysis, asking what would have happened to Havana Docks docks if they had not been confiscated in 1960, is incompatible with the text of the Act. Instead, the analysis Title III requires here is very simple. The Cuban government stole Havana Docks' property, its docks, piers, and other things that it had the right to operate under its concession. And the cruise lines have, all agree, commercially benefited by depositing paying customers on those docks and piers. So, the cruise lines trafficked in confiscated property to which Havana Docks owns a claim. We granted certiorari. Title III generally makes any person who traffics in property which was confiscated by the Cuban government liable to any United States national who owns the claim to such property. The cruise lines argue that the Act demands a one-to-one correspondence between the property interest confiscated and the property interest trafficked. Havana Docks, meanwhile, argues that the Act imposes liability for trafficking in underlying physical property, not just interest in property. The dispute before us thus turns on whether the relevant property which was confiscated must be Havana Docks' property interest in the docks, or whether it could instead be the docks themselves. We hold that the cruise line's use of the docks is sufficient to establish that they use property which was confiscated by the Cuban government. Havana Docks is not required to establish that the cruise lines used its property interest. Under the plain text of Title III, property which was confiscated can be the physical property in which the plaintiff had an interest, and not just the interest itself. Title III makes entities liable for trafficking in any property and any interest that the Cuban government confiscated. The Act's definition of property makes clear that the Act imposes liability for trafficking in both the physical property and the property interests. Ordinary meaning reinforces that conclusion. The term any property, of course, includes physical things. Any external thing over which the rights of possession, use, and enjoyment are exercised can be property. Title III itself provides examples, including real property, which includes land and anything attached to it, and personal property, which includes movable things. This court has recognized that property ordinarily can refer to physical things in which people can have property interests. When this court previously considered Castro's expropriations, it recognized that property can refer to both physical things and interests in them, noting that the Cuban government nationalized by forced expropriation property in which American nationals had an interest. For that reason, the Cuban government could, for example, expropriate sugar itself, in addition to, or rather than merely contractual rights related to the sugar. Construing property which was confiscated to refer only to the plaintiff's interest in the property would read out of the Act obvious ways in which people can traffic in confiscated property. One traffics, for example, by using confiscated property. This form of trafficking ordinarily concerns things, not property interests. One uses land or other physical property, but one does not ordinarily use someone else's property interests. If, for example, your car is stolen and the thief lets another drive it, the other uses your car, but he does not use your property interest in your car. So, requiring a one-to-one correspondence between the property interest confiscated and the property interest trafficked would lead to the surprising result that entities could freely use many kinds of confiscated property without exposure under Title III. This case illustrates the point. The Court of Appeals agreed that if the cruise lines had used the docks before Havana Docks property interest was set to expire, they could have been liable under the Act. The dissent seems to agree. Yet no matter when Havana Docks property interest was set to expire, the cruise lines would not have used or otherwise trafficked in Havana Docks concession. The cruise lines would have used and trafficked in the docks themselves, but the use of the docks would not be enough for liability on the Court of Appeals and the dissent's view. We thus conclude that the relevant property which was confiscated is not limited to the plaintiff's interest in that property. Property which was confiscated can refer to the physical property in which the plaintiff had an interest when the Cuban government seized control of it after January 1, 1959. Knowingly and intentionally trafficking in that physical property by, for example, using it, can lead to liability under the Act. In that way, confiscated property is, as it were, tainted, off limits, such that anyone who uses the property can be liable to those who had an interest in the tainted property. On that understanding of property, Havana Docks has shown that the cruise lines used confiscated property in which Havana Docks had a property interest and to which it owns a claim. The docks are property which was confiscated. Havana Docks has established that the Cuban government confiscated those docks without compensation. In 1960, the Castro regime expropriated American property, specifically targeting Havana docks. Then, Castro's forces physically took possession of the docks and expelled Havana docks agents. The Cuban government therefore seized control of the docks, the physical property in which Havana docks had an interest. It follows that the docks are property which was confiscated by the Cuban government after January 1, 1959. The cruise lines used or engaged in commercial activity using the docks. It is undisputed that when they transported nearly 1 million paying passengers to Cuba, the cruise lines used the docks. It is likewise undisputed that they did so without the authorization of Havana docks. So, if the cruise lines did so knowingly and intentionally, the cruise lines trafficked in property, the docks, which was confiscated by the Cuban government. Finally, Havana Docks is a United States national who owns the claim to the confiscated docks. Although a plaintiff need not have a commission-certified claim, Havana Docks has such a certified claim, which is conclusive proof that Havana Docks has satisfied this element. The commission found that Havana Docks had acquired a concession for the construction and operation of the docks and the real property with all improvements and appurtenances located at the port. And the commission found that the facilities of Havana Docks were physically occupied by agents of the Cuban government after the Cuban government had nationalized Havana Docks assets in 1960. In sum, the Cuban government seized control of property, the docks the Havana Docks built in 1960. At that point, the docks were tainted as confiscated property, the use of which the United States sought to deter. The cruise lines later used the confiscated docks, property to which Havana Docks owns a certified claim, when they transported nearly 1 million passengers to Cuba between 2016 and 2019. The Court of Appeals therefore erred in concluding that Havana Docks failed to establish these requirements for Title III liability. the Court of Appeals analysis below, as well as the cruise lines and dissents arguments here, conflict with Title III's text. The Court of Appeals interpreted the Act to demand a counterfactual analysis. The way to give effect to the statutory language, traffics in property which was confiscated, the court said, is to view the property interest at issue in a Title III action as if there had been no expropriation, and then determine whether the alleged conduct constituted trafficking in that interest. This approach rested on the premise that property could refer only to present property interests. But no Title III plaintiff owns a present property interest because that property now belongs to the Cuban government. After all, the Cuban government expropriated those property interests in 1960. In order to resolve this tension and give effect to its understanding of the statute, the Court of Appeals had to eliminate the distorting effect of the confiscation by assuming that there had been no confiscation, and then asking whether the defendant's use of the property would have interfered with the owner's property interest absent the confiscation. In this case, the court posited a counterfactual scenario in which the Cuban government had never expropriated Havana Dock's concession, and then analyzed the defendant's conduct in that scenario. Because the concession expired in 2004 in this counterfactual scenario, and Havana Docks would have had to hand the docks over at that point anyway, the court reasoned that the cruise line's conduct from 2016 to 2019 did not violate Havana Docks' rights and therefore cannot constitute trafficking under Title III. This counterfactual approach is difficult to understand and apply if the approach requires courts to assume that the original rights holder retained his legal rights. It would foreclose liability in cases where the text demands it. Suppose that an American owned land, the Cuban government expropriated his property interest in the land. The Cuban government transferred the property interest to a company, and the company sold it to another company. There should be no doubt that both companies are liable under Title III for trafficking in property which was confiscated from an American, the first by selling the property interest and the second by purchasing it. But if, as the Court of Appeals suggested, we treat the property interest as if the Cuban government had never expropriated it, then the American would still own it, in which case the other companies could not have sold or purchased it. It makes little sense to determine whether the alleged conduct constituted trafficking in that interest, because the alleged conduct, selling and purchasing, cannot occur in the counterfactual scenario. We decline to adopt an approach that appears to read out of the Act cases of trafficking that should be in the heartland of Title III. On the other hand, if all that the Court of Appeals meant is that the Act requires that the defendant traffic in the same property interest that the plaintiff held, then it still misunderstood the Act. In that case, the Court of Appeals analysis simply rested on the assumption that the relevant confiscated and trafficked in property must be the plaintiff's original property interest, here, the usufructuary concession. But, as Judge Brasher explained, Havana Dock's theory is that the cruise lines are using the docks, the physical property, not that they are using the property interest. And as we have explained, the Act allows Havana Docks to proceed on that theory. This understanding explains why a cruise line could have been liable under Title III for using the docks in 1997, 2001, or 2021, even though the cruise line would not have used Havana Docks' interest in the docks at any of those times. Title III is simply an anti-trafficking right of action. It recognizes that the effect of the Cuban government's expropriation was the destruction of the plaintiff's interest in the property. It then provides a right to compensation based on the plaintiff's former property interest from those who later traffic in the property and thereby help to support the communist Cuban government. The cruise lines make an additional argument for affirmance. Havana Docks' suit fails, the cruise lines contend, because the Cuban government did not confiscate the docks, it confiscated only the concession. The dissent agrees. This assertion would have surprised anyone present in 1960 Havana. As explained, the Act defines confiscation to include the seizure of ownership or control of property. When armed agents physically occupied the docks' facilities, They seized control of the docks, even if Cuba owned the docks. Before that seizure, the concessionaire, Havana Docks, was in possession of the works. After the seizure, the Cuban government stopped Havana Docks from operating, using, enjoying, possessing, or otherwise controlling the docks. The Cuban government thereby extinguished Havana Docks' concession and physically occupied the docks, as the commission found. Those actions constitute confiscation of the docks under Title III. We conclude that the cruise lines used confiscated property to which Havana Docks owns the claim. Because the Court of Appeals concluded otherwise, it did not reach the cruise lines' remaining arguments against liability. Those arguments are not before us, and we do not address them. Accordingly, we vacate the judgment of the Court of Appeals and remand for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. It is so ordered.